Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and I'm here with the one and only Leanne Rimes, who needs no introduction. She comes to the Kennedy Center to play with the NSO Pops. Leanne, thanks so much for taking the time.
Oh, yeah, of course. Thank you.
In my humble opinion, you have one of the greatest voices in the history of country music, so this is an honor.
You.
The NSO has done some of these cool shows. It's a new thing they've been doing, and I mean, it's ranged all genres. They had Boys to Men recently. They've done Kendrick Lamar, Nas, and now we're going a little country with this. I love the idea. Tell me how cool it's going to be to, you know, be up there with this orchestra behind you. It's got to be epic.
It is epic. I can think that's actually a great word for it. I've played with Symphony many times, but I don't get to do it as often as I would like. I've done symphony tours where we do like a couple weeks, but it's such an epic experience, you know, because there's so much. It just takes it adds another, you know, level of excitement and beauty and, you know, just emotion to the performance. So, you know, once you have that experience, it's something that you want more often. I guess for me it is, and so it's, you know, it'll be a beautiful night. It's always just, I get really moved by it, so I think that just translates over and, you know, to the audience and the performance and everything.
How does it work rehearsal-wise? Do you, I mean, obviously you said you've done it with orchestras before, but
yeah.
Do you meet with the conductor, you know, ahead of time, or you wait till you get to D.C., or how does that work?
No, I'll go in probably for about half an hour, because we play about half of the show with Symphony and half without.
Okay.
So I have a band leader that goes in, and he talks to them beforehand. We have charts that have been written out long ago that the Symphony has beforehand, too. And so he'll go in a few hours before me and on the day of show and run the whole thing with the Symphony and make sure all of that is in place. And then I'll come in and run what I need to run, and then we're good to go.
Awesome. What can we expect to hear? Is it any of your newer stuff, a little of the hits, a little of both?
You hear a little bit of everything. My show, you know, I used to go by a set list, like strictly by a set list, and with the symphony it's a little more defined, but
right.
It still changes from night to night. You know, no, I don't think we've done a show that's actually been the same this year, which has been great. I love to kind of mix it up. So, yeah, we play the hits. I play some new stuff. Some of the hits, actually, you know, I've been singing these songs for like 20 years.
Since you were age 11.
Yes, exactly. So, you know, so some of them we've kind of played around with this year and changed the arrangement of a few songs, and they're really beautiful. I'm moved and really, you know, I connect with these songs, I think, deeper now than with the arrangement changes than I have in a long time. So if you've been to a show before, you'll hear something, you'll hear the songs, you know, that you know, but they'll be a little bit different. And I think, you know, people that we played them for have really been falling in love with them. So it's a really fun show this year.
Awesome. Let's move a little chronologically through them a little, if you don't mind. I mean, I was a little kid. I was probably about your age when it happened, but I remember when you first came out around when you were age 11, and everyone was blown away by Blue, the way you moved your voice up and down. It was amazing. Take me back to that sort of whirlwind experience of bursting on the scene.
Oh God, I don't think I remember it. I was so young. I really was. No, I signed my deal when I was 11, and Blue came out. I was 13 when Blue came out, and we just celebrated actually the 20th anniversary. You know, it happened so fast. I mean, we went from 0 to 60 in like not even in a millisecond. It was insane. And so it was, you know, as a kid, I don't think anybody can tell you, no one can tell an adult how to deal with that, much less a kid. But it was, I mean, it was everything that I could have dreamt of at the time, you know, and everything else that I had, you know, no idea that was coming. And it's been quite the ride, quite the 20 years, that's for sure.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I mean, a lot of people have compared it to, you know, I remember Tanya Tucker when she burst on the scene with Delta Dawn. That was, you know, she was really young too, but yours, that sort of idea, but in the 90s. What do you think? I mean, that song's probably going to go down as one of the greatest ever. I think it's been voted as such as well by some of the lists. Why do you think that connects so well?
I don't know. I think it was a multitude of different things, you know, that kind of came together to make that. And, you know, I think being so young and my voice and the fact that I did this yodel thing that was different than what people were hearing at the time, you know, also 90s country at the time was kind of, this was really traditional for where the genre was at the time.
Right.
You know, it reminded people of Patsy Cline and, you know, so many different things that just kind of came together with that song to make it so special. you know, I love singing that song. I don't get tired of singing. I think I have just such a great appreciation for, right. you know, where it took me to. So, yeah, it is one of the greatest, I have to say. It's just something magic about that.
How did you learn to sing like that? You had to have just been born with that.
Yeah, I think it was it's a gift. You know, I never took voice lessons. I grew up, my dad has tapes of me singing when I was like 18 months old. I full on could sing. You couldn't understand a word I was saying when I was speaking, but when I was singing, it was like I had this otherworldly thing come out of me.
It was Baby Blue was your first
Baby
song.
Blue, yes.
And now you're Royal Blue. Yes. All right, cool. Well, I mean, right after that, I mean, you had you rattled off a couple. I loved your Unchained Melody too. But I mean, the next big hit was How Do I Live? I know Trisha Yearwood had a version of that too, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I personally think yours just took it, knocked it out of the park.
Saying that 'cause I'm on the phone with you.
Yeah, if I was interviewing Trisha, you know, and Garth was standing there staring at me, I'd probably
right.
say the
you
other.
Might say something different.
Did hers come out first or yours?
That's such a funny story. I actually recorded that song for the soundtrack for, oh my God, what's the name of the movie? Con Air, thank you.
Oh, wow, Con Air.
Yeah, I recorded it for the soundtrack, and then there was a bunch of, basically I'm not going to bore you with the whole story, but there was a bunch of just kind of politics and craziness and BS. And mine ended up not going in the film, and Diane Warren, who wrote the song, had actually said, you know, this is your song, whether or not it went in the film or not. And mine ended up not going in film, and they had Trisha record it, and hers went in the film, and hers was released basically at the same time. And it was kind of this, like I said, it had nothing to do with Trisha and me. Absolutely, I love her to death. It had everything to do with this crazy business, and we both had hits with it, and so it is, and who cares now?
It's such a powerful song, though. I mean, why do you think people love it so much?
Well, oh my God, let's like, you know, it's the most beautiful, heartbreaking power ballad, you know, so I think people just, I think instantly related to, you know, they could play that anything, they could play that at a wedding, they could play that at a funeral, they could play that, God, you know, it just related to people's lives in such a way that was really powerful.
Yeah, definitely. We don't have to go through all of them because I know we're up against the clock, but I'll, you know, Can't Find the Moonlight. I mean,
yeah.
Nothing But Love Makes, I mean, there's so many, but I guess one more we'll go into. I Need You. That one just is like a goosebump one.
thanks.
Why do you think that one caught on so fast?
Well, that was actually attached for me to this, it was a film, a Jesus miniseries that was going on at the time. And that song, I think, people related to in so many different ways, whether if it was a love song or if it was from, you know, a spiritual point of view. It really connected with people on so many different levels. I mean, I think that's what the greatest songs do. I mean, they tell so many different stories. You know, people can relate stories of their lives, you know, their specific story to it. And so it becomes this kind of very kind of worldwide perspective. It's not so specific to one specific story, but people really can find themselves in their stories within it. So.
Yeah. What are you listening to these days? What's on Leanne Rimes' playlist, country or otherwise?
I don't even know what I'm listening to these days. I listen to everything. I really do. Hold on. I have to look here to see what I'm listening to.
There you go. Pull up the iPod right now.
Yeah, I know, right? I'm listening to a lot of Jack White lately. I love the new Beyonce record.
You said Jack White?
Yeah, I love Jack White.
You're an Icky Thump.
Oh, yes. Mumford & Sons. What else am I listening to?
Cool. Well, you mentioned, just piggybacking off of that, I won't make you go through your whole iPod.
Thank you.
I'll spare you. You mentioned sort of, you know, how back then when you first came on the scene, country was sort of in a more traditional place, and now everybody's gone country, as Alan Jackson said. You know, what's your sort of take on how it's evolved over the last, I guess, 20 years since you really came on?
I mean, I think it's great that it's definitely become more of a mainstream, you know, kind of vibe, and people are, it's getting into so many, you know, so many different countries and different hands, and you know, I do personally miss the old school country music.
Me too.
I miss that. That's what I grew up on, and I love it so much. And it's nice to hear people kind of dabble in that every once in a while. You know, that will always be my favorite. But I do think that it's nice that, you know, it's being more accepted, I think, worldwide these days, and people are, country music is kind of, you know, really, like I said, become kind of a worldwide thing, which is great.
Yeah. Who were some of those old school ones, you know, that predated you that maybe your parents or grandparents listened to?
Oh, God. I listened to every, you know, Hank Williams and Merle Haggard and Patsy Cline and Dolly Parton and...
Who did you sing in the mirror, in the bathroom mirror, when you were singing growing up and singing into the comb? What did you sing?
Oh, everybody. I mean, I grew up, you know, listening to Patsy Cline and Barbara Streisand and Judy Garland and Whitney Houston and Reba and, I mean, Janis Joplin. It was really, like, it was so across the board for me.
And now a whole new generation of young girls and guys grew up singing your stuff. So it's really awesome. Well, I think you're one of the legends. So thanks so much for taking the time. We can't wait to see you at Kennedy Center. It's gonna be awesome.
Come out. It's gonna be a beautiful show.
Emile Dacou will be conducting you. We've interviewed him a ton, so he's great. It's gonna be awesome. So everybody, it's Leanne Rimes with the NSO Pops. Get your tickets now. It's gonna be awesome. I hope to see you out there.
Thank you. We'll see you soon.